Tonight, I want to zero in on another pattern we find in the text that's here. I think most of you will recognize that this passage, Matthew 5, is part of a larger section, really our Lord's most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Likely, as it's recorded here, compiled, various sermons, parts of them compiled by Matthew as he wrote this down. Probably teachings that did not necessarily all take place in a single sitting, but we have them recorded for us this way. It's got so much here. We love this sermon. But what I want you to notice tonight is the pattern that's employed by our Lord in six consecutive paragraphs here in chapter number 5. Beginning at verse 21, down through the end of the chapter, in six paragraphs we find a pattern of language. So notice verses 21 and 22, what we find where we read this: "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." If you look down a little further, in verse 27, we see again, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Or down in verse 31, we see it again. "It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery." Or again, verse 33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely.' Verse 34, 'But I say to you, do not take an oath at all.' Verse 38, we see it again. 'You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who's evil.' You see it again in verse 43. 'You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you.'" There's so much amazing truth that's taught in these paragraphs. I'd love to preach a sermon on them all again. We've studied through them in the last few years, so I'm not going to do all of that tonight. What I do want to do, though, is my purpose this evening is really not to teach through the correctives, but to note, if you would, the linguistic pattern. Note the pattern of Jesus' words. You noted those two most repeated phrases throughout the passage. What do we see? "You have heard..." And "but I say." You've heard, but I say. Just think about it for a minute. These two phrases are intended by our Lord to challenge us, to wrestle. To wrestle with our relationship to the mindless repetition of tradition. On the one hand. And to wrestle with the living and active word of our sovereign Lord on the other. Do we just go through life doing what we've always thought, always heard, always known, always decided? Or does the word of the living God have authority over us? Jesus speaking to people who were steeped in their traditions. They've been taught them from childhood, rightly so. But they didn't know what God had said. They simply know what they had heard. In light of it, I think we need to ask ourselves some questions tonight. I just want to ask a handful of questions that I think this pattern really kind of requires us to consider. First question I'd ask you tonight is this: do I recognize the difference between when we are simply acting based on tradition and when we are informed and motivated by the actual words of our Lord? Do we know what God has said? Or do we simply know what we like to do? I found it interesting that over the years there was a kind of an expression of tradition that says, you know, we've always done it this way. Or maybe it's said to the negative way, we ain't never done it that way before, right? We've always done it a certain way. It's what our parents did, and it's what our grandparents did, and it's what our great-grandparents did before them. It's what our church has always done. It's what our family has always done. But you know what's interesting is in recent years, I've seen it shift a bit. Because there's almost in the younger generations of our day a pride in breaking molds, breaking out of tradition. I don't do what they did before me, and we're proud of it. But here's what I've started to hear out of individuals and families in recent years. Our family has decided this is how we do it. So what have we said? It doesn't really matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what God's Word says. We have put our heads together and our hearts together and decided that for us, this is how it's going to be. This is how we're going to spend our time. This is how we're going to spend our money. This is how we're going to spend our energy. This is how we're going to spend our lives. We have decided. And I've got to ask, do we recognize the difference between when we act merely upon our traditions, whether old or new, our traditions, and when we know the words of God and are being instructed and motivated by His words? Jesus, speaking to His fellow Israelites who knew the traditions of their day and of their people, said, you've heard a lot. You think a way you've been taught to think, but I say. And here's the thing. When what He says begins to rub up against what we like, what do we do about it? When the words of our Lord scrape against our lives like sandpaper, intending to make us look like Jesus, do we let it have its work in us? Or do we pull away? Do we fight it? That's our second question. How do you respond? How do I respond when the Word challenges and even confronts our traditions? How do we respond to that? It may be what we like. It may be what we're used to. It may be what we're comfortable with. It may be where we just find it's kind of the sweet spot of life for us. But when the Word presses against it, how do we respond? I was thinking about this week. What prompts us to lean upon tradition rather than to study, apply, and act upon the Word? And the more I thought of it, the more I found myself right back in application class on Sunday, right? What do we talk about Sunday? We like to soften the hard stuff, don't we? That's just natural. That is what our hearts all want to do. So what is it that prompts us to lean on tradition rather than study, apply, and obey the Word ourselves? Quite practically, let me just ask it another way. How does your heart respond to the challenging and difficult words of Christ found right here in this passage? I was reading down through these again this week and realizing how abrasive these words are to our way of thinking, our modern mind. In fact, we get uncomfortable. Just reading His words out loud makes us uncomfortable. Just listen to the things He said. I mean, six paragraphs. I'm not going to teach them. Just listen to them. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 23. So, If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, keep your hands in the air and sing at the top of your lungs, right? Just keep pretending, fake it till you make it, people. No. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I wonder, when's the last time you or I found ourselves in the midst of a worship service and were compelled by the Spirit of God to stop singing? Because I'm faking it. To keep that check in my pocket until I find my brother. And make sure this is dealt with. To walk across an aisle in the middle of a song service. Because Jesus' words won't let me just keep pretending. It's all okay. See, we read those words and it rubs on our life, doesn't it? If we're thinking it does. He continues, verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. And throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. I gotta ask, are we squirming yet? That's not how we think. It's not how we do things. But it's what Jesus commanded of his followers. Verse 32. Everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That doesn't fly in our culture. It is what Jesus said. Verse 34. Do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes and no. Anything more than this comes from evil. I went on Monday to Greenville. I got to on Sunday night see my daughter on Monday. I was asked to play in a golf tournament for the Wilds. I'm standing by a golf cart in the middle of a bunch of pastors, and one of them's telling a story. And as he tells the story, I see all the other men who know him go, yeah, like that happened. And the next words out of his mouth were striking to me because I'd been reading this passage. He goes, I swear it's true. And I'd just been reading Jesus saying, you don't take oaths at all. Like, you don't swear. You just tell the truth. Now, I didn't know the man. You don't know the man. I'm not intending to throw him under the bus. It was just striking to me to be standing in a fellowship of pastors listening to a man that honestly, everything in us fights against the very words that our Lord spoke to us. Because in the middle of a conversation, the one thing you want people to believe you. So say whatever you have to say so they believe you. And Jesus said, stop swearing. Stop taking oaths. Stop saying things like on my mother's grave, right? Like we don't talk like that. Why? Let your yes be yes. And let your no be no. People should know you to be a truth teller. That when you speak, what you say is so. You shouldn't have to coax them into believing you. Because what you say always is true. That's what he's saying. You be a truth teller like your Lord. I need to be a truth teller like my Lord. I've got to ask the question. Is the word of Christ rubbing against our life yet? Verse 39. Do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, slap him back. He hit me first. Turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, walk 2. Seems to be an allusion to a Roman governmental order. Soldier could walk into any marketplace or any field and take anyone out of their place of business and require them by law to carry all their equipment 1 mile. Government edict. Jesus says, don't argue with them. Just pull up your big boy britches and walk 2 mile. Be different. Be different. Give the one who begs from you. Don't refuse the one who would borrow from you. Verse 44. Love your enemies. What? Say it again, Jesus. Love your enemies. I mean, who's an enemy? Well, that waitress was kind of snippy with me, right? No, we're not talking about people who have a bad day and you've kind of got the brunt of it. These are people who desire your harm, maybe even the end of your life. They would hurt you if they could. Love them. Pray for the ones who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? It's like Jesus is saying, okay, think of the worst person you could come up with. You know, the worst sellout, the most hated among you. Don't even they love people that love them? They get that right. And we're proud of the fact that we love the people who love us. He said, that comes naturally. That's not supernatural. If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your Father is perfect. You know, I was thinking about it as I was wrestling with these passages. Could it be that we tend to resort to following the traditions of men rather than knowing and doing the word and the will of God, because at the end of the day, listening to men is just easier? We have phrases for it, right? Like after all, I'm only what? I'm only human. We think this is something that the kids say, but we all live. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody thinks like that. Why not me? I think we tend to resort to following traditions of men rather than knowing the Word of God because it's, at the end of the day, it's just easier. We seem to think negatively of people who, you know, put their finger in the air and wait for the wind to blow. But I think, sadly, if we're not careful, when we look around, we might find that we all have our finger in the air. That's how we tend to live. What's acceptable here, right? What's the least I can do and be considered faithful in this group? That's what I'll do. Brothers and sisters, I just want to sound the warning because this is my own devotions. I'm just reading back through the Gospels and I'm finding these patterns in the text. And one of the things that I'm seeing is the importance of what our Lord is addressing here. We have a tendency to soften the hard things. We talked about it Sunday. And understanding that, then what I want to do is this. I want us to go to prayer tonight and I want us to cry out to God as people who confess this tendency, who repent of our bent toward the soft and the easy. The easiest path, the least offensive talk, the most carefully chosen path through life so that we have the least amount of opposition and difficulty. We all know how to take the edge off of our Lord's words. You say, how do you know that? Because of how these words rubbed on our own souls tonight as we read them. We know that. We know how to give ourselves a pass. And these are some of the most basic things He taught. So tonight then, let's go to God in prayer and let's ask Him to glorify Himself in us through two specific things. Our knowledge of and our submission to His words. Not merely traditions formed around His words, right? If we didn't have traditions that form around His words, then Bridges' book, like Respectable Sins, wouldn't have a marketplace. No one would buy it because they'd go, that's stupid. Nobody does that. Why does a book like Respectable Sins sell? Because we've already sold ourselves on the fact that it's all okay. We can talk like that and it's okay. We'll give each other a pass. We can think like that and it's okay. Because that's our kind of Christianity. Now let's ask God to glorify Himself through us based on our knowledge of and our submission to what He's actually said. And what I don't want to do tonight is this. I don't want to encourage you to make a telescope out of your Bible, right? To kind of roll it up like the little tubes where you kind of are looking for a person that now you're going to hold them guilty. No, I want to challenge us to hold this up less like a telescope and more like a mirror. Because that's what the Word of God is. It's a mirror. Why did I ask you tonight if the words of Christ were rubbing against your life? Because they rub against mine. And if any of us think we can sit here tonight and go, those words aren't abrasive to me, Because I think I've arrived. I actually say all that I ought to say and do all that I ought to do and think all that I ought to think and look and live in all the ways that I should look and live. Then I'm just not being honest with something. Probably myself and guaranteed the Word. Because when Jesus speaks, He speaks that His Word might change us, right? We don't have time to chase the thought tonight, but how often the Scripture warns us not to deceive ourselves. But one of the texts where we're told we do that most clearly, James says, when we look at the Word and we see what's true of ourselves, and we don't do anything about what we see. We look, we see ourselves for what we really are, and we stay like that. He says we deceive ourselves by the hearing without the doing of the Word. And so tonight I'm not telling us anything we haven't heard before. I'm not telling us anything we probably haven't wrestled with before. I'm probably not even addressing anything you've not thought about or considered in your own study before. I'm asking the question, not have we thought this, are we doing anything about this? That's what I'm asking tonight. Are we doing anything with it? My concern would be that we'd have one of two extremes. One, we'd be crushed by His words rather than shaped and molded by His words. Or one, His words wouldn't do anything to us because we're like the rich young ruler and we actually think, I've arrived. All these things I've always done. Rather than landing under His words and letting them do the work that He wants them to do. Peeling back the layers of traditions that we hide behind and showing us what is true of our own lives before Him. So tonight, let's ask the Lord to glorify Himself as He works in us with His Word. And might He change us for His own glory.